It's hitting 3 o'clock. This is KDLT Bozeman, KDLZ East Helena, serving the Helena Valley. Ron Sanchez here with a house full of guests, or something like that. Well, I'll introduce everybody in a minute. Right now, I'm going to take care of some business. I got to get rid of that. There we go. That's better. This is KDLT Bozeman. I said that we're underwritten in part by New Age Artisans, specialist in old world wall systems and finishes. Showrooms located at 515 West Peach Street in Midtown Bozeman, or phone 570-6199, on the web at newageartisans.com and on Instagram at New Age Artisans. And you know, I live in Midtown. You know that? You realize that?
Midtown Bozeman.
Yeah, Midtown Bozeman.
In New York, it means something else.
Yes. Well, we're newly designated Midtown. And we're also supported by Bridger Bubbles Car and Dog Wash, home of the touchless automatic water wizard and easy-to-use dog wash, located north of Costco on North 19th Interchange and Spring Hill Road, open 24/7. Credit and debit cards acceptable. Okay. Is there weather? Yeah, there's sun. And it doesn't look like it's going to rain right yet. What is it saying? Mostly sunny and pleasant with a high of 81 they're calling for. And it's 80 right now, so not too bad at all. Clear tonight for a low of 46. It's mostly sunny and pleasant tomorrow, getting up to 83. And looks like that's about what Southwest Montana can expect as a whole. So sitting to my right, the return of Jack Rabbit.
Didn't get sick of me from last month, Ron?
This famous song, How Can We Miss You If You Don't Go Away?
I've been burrowing a little place in Ron's basement. He doesn't know I've been living there all month.
Yes. And Michael Kurtz, a first-time visitor and a new Bozeman resident.
Yeah, just moved here from New York City 2 weeks ago.
Wow. And you guys knew each other from previous encounters.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, you know, impugning and impinging on people's hospitality, we used to go down to North Carolina and stay with him. Yeah, every time we were on tour.
Yeah, whenever Spring House came through, you guys always stayed at the house.
And he came up and played on stage with us. We did a cover of the Beatles' Rain, and we were all really drunk.
My favorite.
At an Indian restaurant. What was that place called?
I don't remember now.
Kasim's or something?
Yeah, it was. Exactly. That's right.
Wow.
So we have him on record.
Okay, I need to tell you, if we were running around town, it would be unwritten this hour by Explore Big Sky newspaper, covering Big Sky in Southwest Montana with compelling stories and professional photography from across the region. Available twice monthly at newsstands around Bozeman, West Yellowstone, and Big Sky. Online at explorebigsky.com. Download now, available from the App Store. Okay, there's some things I need to ask Michael about because he's got a short time limit here. But I picked some songs to get us started with, and I tried to find a couple of things that might be new to your ears. I usually try to do that. And I hope you brought some things to...
I have, and I'm sure Jim here will have a request for us, too.
Okay, we'll get to that. Let's start. This is my old friend, poet Pete Brown.
In 1959, after attending a drinking jazz lecture on Billie Holiday at a nameless cultural establishment, being at the crossroads of life, it was revealed to me. Alone, tired, half drunk, hopeful, I staggered into the bogs at Green Park Station and found 30 written on the wall. Appalled, I lurched out into the windy, blaring neon Piccadilly night, thinking surely there must be more of us than that.
America will declare peace on Russia. World War I generals will sell poppies in the streets on November the 11th. The first daffodils of autumn will appear when the leaves fall upwards to the trees. Pigeons will hunt cats through city backyards. Hitler will tell us to fight on the beaches and on the landing fields. tunnel full of water will be built under Liverpool. Pigs will be sighted flying in formation over Wootton, and Nelson will not only get his eye back but his arm as well. White Americans will demonstrate for equal rights in front of the Black House. And the monster has just created Dr. Frankenstein. Girls in bikinis are moonbathing. Folk songs are being sung by real folk. Art galleries are closed to people over 21. Poets get their poems in the top 20. Politicians are elected to insane asylums. There's jobs for everyone and nobody wants them. In back alleys everywhere, teenage lovers are kissing in broad daylight. In forgotten graveyards everywhere, the dead will quietly bury the living, and you will tell me you love me tonight at noon.
Let's go. strong. The good's gone. The good's gone.
Okay, getting started with some old favorites. That was The Who from their debut album. Great Pete Townsend song, Good's Gone. Pete really rose to the occasion for that. You know, they recorded that album. They started recording. It was going to be all R&B covers. And there was the two James Brown ones that survived, and I'm a Man, and some B-sides, Garnet Mims and another James Brown B-side. But after they thought about it, Pete said, no, I'm going to write some songs. And we got My Generation album, which is a winner.
Yeah, a lot of bands were relying on covers to fill out their albums back then.
Yeah, or just that was their stage show. And yeah. I think that's what they tried. Their thought was The Who live stage show on my record. And those covers are nice, but the originals make it.
As it turned out, they had a world-class songwriter in the band anyway.
Yes, yes. Start off with Pete Brown from his poetry album, Not Forgotten Association. You heard the famous Few. And Pete Brown, you know, is a guy who wrote all the words for Cream. And that album is a hoot. And it's in print again. It's on CD, so seek it out. It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. And the guy is that funny when you sit around and talk to him. Liverpool Scene from Liverpool, apparently. Adrian Henry and Friends from their album Incredible. You heard Tonight at Noon, followed by The Jam from This is the Modern World singing Tonight at Noon. And you think Paul Weller might have picked that album up and said,
Certainly possible. He was total record hound.
Yes, yes. Some old favorites. Okay, it's a quarter after, and we're going to stop here and talk because Michael Kurtz has, you're working on a huge project that people know about. Yeah, record store days.
Yeah, yeah. We social distance it this year, and it's going to do it over three different months.
Well, and when's the first drop date?
I think it's August 28th.
And is it a
Saturday?
Oh, it'll be just like the usual one, just reduced releases?
Yeah, we kind of divided up the 550 releases between the three dates.
Okay.
So it's about 200 for August.
Mm. And I've seen the list, checked, marked some things I'm going to need. So you mentioned that you're one of the instigators of Record Store Day.
Yeah. What happened? How did?
Yeah.
Well, you know, people tell different stories. Paul Epstein from who owns Twist and Shout claims that we were smoking pot in a hotel room and came up with the idea of it. I like that idea, but it's not actually what happened. A bunch of us got together at a coffee shop, and at the time, everybody was telling us that we were too stupid to know that nobody wanted record stores, but we were having a great time, you know, having events with bands and in stores, and just so we decided to throw a party. Wow. It wasn't like one person's idea. I'm the guy who's kind of managed it from the beginning and oversee like all the records being made and all that kind of thing.
That's got to be a huge project, coordinating all that.
It really is, and the best the thing that's I've learned most from is just to get out of the way. I'll give you an example. David Bowie was a huge Record Store Day fan. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of people didn't know, his last album, Black Star, he released the early demos on Record Store Day the year before. Most people didn't make that connection. But as a Bowie fan, I was like, what are these songs? You know, they were so different, like, you know, what ended up being on Black Star. And but that's an example. I mean, in early days, I would go to people and say, hey, can you ask David Bowie if he would do this? But as it grew bigger and bigger, I just got out of the way.
Mm. I wasn't aware of that demos record.
Yeah.
That one got past me, and I'm usually pretty thorough. I'm going to have to investigate.
It's a 10-inch, and it looks like on the early Columbia record label, and he was really involved in the artwork and stuff.
Mm. Yeah, I would imagine so. I don't think anything he didn't completely touch.
Yeah.
Fab, you know, we have a record store here.
Yeah.
We have two, actually. Three, if you count the Vargos.
I do.
And so there's three vinyl outlets, and the Record Store Day here, I've seen it go from a modest proposal to actually a really exciting...
Pretty big thing.
Yeah. And, you know, and I go down an hour early, unlike some big cities, and there might be 20 to 40 people in line already.
Yeah.
And by the time they open the doors, there might be 50 people behind me.
Yeah, and it's so funny how it grew as an idea, and it wasn't like anybody, myself included, was saying, hey, let's do this. It just grew and grew, and then it grew internationally to the point that, you know, I was getting invitations to go to different countries to do radio and to tell people, you know, sort of evangelize. Mm. And you ended up having some great adventures, like went over there with John Densmore, the drummer of the Doors.
Oh, wow.
And spent a week with him hitting record stores and stuff. And that all sort of culminated getting knighted in France, which was pretty surreal. Chevalier is what they call it there. But it was all like just community based, and that's what they really were like, oh, you're cool because you did this for communities. It wasn't like a, you know, it was like a really important person.
Mm. And you mentioned Twist and Shout. Is that the one in Denver?
Yeah, that's Paul's store in Denver.
I love that store.
Oh, it's incredible. There's so many stores like Paul's around the world, and they take different shapes. Grimey's in Nashville just moved and took over a beautiful church.
Mm.
And it's just a stunning setting for a record store.
Wow. Yes. You know, I was, when we were talking earlier, I spent the 70s working in record stores of all sorts in the Bay Area, which was pretty exciting. When I first started, I worked for a chain called Discount Records, a national chain. At that point, they're owned by CBS Records.
Oh, wow.
The best funded record store I ever worked for.
Yeah.
They paid their bills. I could literally order any record that's in print in the world.
You could get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We had that. We were good for it. And it was a different sort of record store where our concept is we want to have 10,000 different titles, not 100, you know,
copy,
100 copies of 1,000 records, or
yeah,
whatever that is. So we never had the mountains of hits stacked in the front of the store. We had 10, and we could get them the next week, and
yeah,
the next week, and the next week. And I just found that was a much better marketing plan. And when I moved to another chain that was a mass marketing thing, it was backwards, you know.
When you walk into a great store, you kind of know it, you know. Yeah. Even if it's a small version of that,
yeah,
you can get a sense of it. I really like Cactus Records here. Yeah. My first 3 days here, it was almost like I knew no one in Bozeman. So what did I do? I was like, I got to find the record store. Go down there, and I meet Michael. She's working there, yeah, and she's so nice to me and makes me feel welcome and helps me find a T-shirt. And I bought a few records, you know, like Antonio Carlos Jobim record and U2's All That You Leave Behind, because that album is a lot about change and about moving on and assessing loss.
Mm.
So Yeah. It made sense, and I felt better.
Yes. You know, my whole concept, too, is you go to a record store three times a week, and you see something different every time. That's what we did. And I could see there was people who just came in, and they'd say, what's new? And that's exciting, instead of somebody just coming and saying, I want the new Jethro Tull album.
Yeah,
They'd look around. And the shop in San Jose was a epicenter of music business in the South Bay. So while I worked there, I met Scott McCoy.
Wow.
Roy Loney was working for ABC Records.
Uh-huh.
Cyril Jordan and George Alexander hand-delivered a copy of their Bump single at the direction of Greg Shaw. Plus, I'm all those San Jose musicians from the Chocolate Watch Band and Syndicate of Sound and such.
It's amazing the characters that can make something. And Jim, you'd relate to this. When I was growing up in Wilmington, North Carolina, there was a guy who ran a record store, and that's when Apple Records launched. And I remember going to a store, and he had a section of just the Apple Records. It was everything from the Black Dyke Mills Band to you know, Trash, to Yoko Ono. It was all of these obscure things that they just, when they went crazy and like put all this artsy kind of stuff out. Anyway, the vibe was so magical to me. It just completely changed me.
Though I want to know, since you guys worked in record stores and I did too, it's one thing we all three have in common. It made no sense for me to work at 99 Records in 83 and Free Being in 84, because every time it came to being payday, I just gave them all the money back and went crazy shopping in the store.
We all used to have the hold section in the back, which was basically your paycheck.
I'm like, why am I even working here? I'm making no money.
And remember the cutout sections? All that island stuff used to get, like all the John Cales, you know, Eno, everything was always like, in the South at least, it went immediately to cutout, which it was incredible records.
That was the case. And I, you know, being older, I was getting all the, in 68, when they stopped making mono, all the mono records came out in cheap bins.
Yeah.
So I saw
you got
that.
Got them.
I saw that was a trend and jumped on it. And then once I was mobile and had a little more money, I'd travel around the Bay Area. I'd get my paycheck.
Yeah.
And I'd make the loop, Berkeley, Marin, San Francisco, Peninsula, and come back with gems. And then it hit the used bins and stuff. And it was pretty stunning. I tell people it was like picking gold nuggets up off the ground.
It's strange that we live in a time now that at one point we've all seen it, the early 2000s, late 1990s. You know, vinyl was like a quarter, 50 cents. You know, you could go to whole bins, and just like everybody was just giving it away. Now those same records are $20, $50. Yeah. It's crazy.
But if you do the calculation by inflation, we were paying $350, $379, $299 a record. Well, that works out to $25 a record.
It's relative.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just track it by the cost of gas. In 1967, I was paying a quarter a gallon for gas.
Yeah.
So
now it's $2.18 here in Bozeman.
Yeah. Do the math.
It was $4 too.
Yeah. I was one of those people who thought, well, this whole thing. I bought CDs, of course, but I didn't turn around to sell my vinyl like people did.
I was always moving. I was a musician, moving them around with me, so they were always kind of destroyed. I never was real precious about it. So I didn't have a collection I could, like, you know, hand down to my son or something like that. It's just, they were all played out.
Oh, yeah, that happens. I just kept buying stuff, and there was a time the previous owner, some Cactus, if somebody came in with a box of records and they didn't want to buy them, people would abandon them. So there's often a free pile.
Yeah.
And I was pulling out Speedy West records and Aretha Franklin records. And
like, for free.
For free.
Yeah.
And nowadays, if not, you might pay a quarter for something totally obscure and maybe beat, but the records are circulating again.
And when I traveled the world for record store day, going to different stores in different countries, you could see the sort of veneration people have for records in different ways. Like some record stores will be set up like libraries almost.
Mm-hmm.
You go in, like some of the good German stores are like that. But it's just a joy to like dive into. When I went there last time, I picked up some of that German Kraut, what do they call Krautrock or whatever, like Can and
Neue Harmonia.
Yeah, I got a couple of those records. Faust, and it was just fun to buy it you know, in Germany.
Jawohl. You know, working in record stores, I had a great advantage, and I was working on the radio. So in 1974, we interviewed Brian Eno when he first came over to the States. In San Francisco.
He would talk? He actually talked to you?
Oh, he was totally fun and chatty.
Oh, nice.
And at the end of the evening, he said, there's some bands you should hear, and wrote me out a list, and it was Can, Kraftwerk, Neue Harmonia, and a couple others. And I thought,
okay.
Yes, I believe him.
I'll check these out. I started watching that documentary about the producer. Do you know him? The guy
Connie
who produced?
Plank, yeah.
Yes, it's so cool and interesting. Another guy, I think much like everybody in this room, who did it because he loved it, not really because he was trying to get rich or make, you know, or, you know what I mean? It's just what he did.
Yes. Yeah, and that does, in my case, producing records was a logical extension of collecting.
Yeah.
Because I remember looking at the back of the second or third Beach Boy album, it said produced by Brian Wilson, and my brother and I went, oh, that's a good idea. And just tuned in our ears, and I've never taken a production class.
All your ears, you're just using them.
I wanted to sound like a record.
Yeah.
And a record can sound like anything, but it has to sound like a record. What I always tell bands is you can come in and record. Anybody can record you. You come here and you're going to make a record. And some people just cannot get their heads around that idea.
That you're going to do it. Yeah, I worked with one really good producer once, Don Dixon, right after he'd done the REM records. And he was that guy. The band just went in, you played pretty much live, and you delivered the goods because that was good. You were making a record.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, very good. I'm looking forward to Record Store Day, and I'm looking forward to seeing you around here now.
You
live in our quadrant of the town, a little farther north than us, but...
New York's loss is Bozeman's gain right there.
Well, we've been trying to get you to stick here, you know, a suspended driver's license.
Just kidnap me, Ron. But Jim has to come, too.
Yes, he's part of the deal. Well, we need to, you know... He can teach me the songs at the piano.
I thought you were hiding in Ron's basement.
Yeah. you and me both, son.
When I sort of suggested that a request or welcome, and you tossed up a record request to play on the show. And this is from one of the classic labels, the Stiff Records label, Larry Wallace, one of those guys who was an anarchist and then a punk.
He was in Motorhead for a second, too.
He was, and he was in what do they call it? Deviants.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And Pink Fairies. No, maybe he wasn't in Deviants, but he was in the Pink Fairies.
I was just about to look that up because I thought he was in Pink Fairies.
Yes, you're right. Those names spin around in my head. And he actually did a record with a friend of mine, Deke Leonard, that's never been released. It's called Leather Forever.
Oh.
And it's just languishing somewhere. And now both Larry and Deke are gone, so who knows?
Oh, I have to find a friend of a friend and somebody who has it.
Yes. And then we have some new things. We're going to sneak on some new things here in a minute, too. So thanks for coming by and chatting and visiting. I know you had some appointments, but you can stick around. We're not kicking you out.
All right.
I'm just going to play a couple records.
Security!
He's exceeded his talk. here we go. This is we're going to play some music. We don't just talk all day on this show.
Let's do it. We'll be right back.
like cigarettes. Now I'm down to my last smoke, and I can't see tomorrow yet. You won't hear that sneaker wave when it knocks you off the cliff. You can tumble in the rocks before you know you're wet. Can't you see that I'm a lot less stable? Trying everything to see what works. You say you got me, but I'm falling. What makes you think it doesn't hurt? This beast has seen a lot of road. Frame is barely holding true. A little push is all I need, but I'm running on fumes. Can't you see that I'm a lot less stable? Trying everything to see what works. You say you got me, but I'm falling. What makes you think it doesn't? To destroy.
what were you saying, 45 years apart or something?
Something like 48 years
48
apart.
48 years apart.
Same lead guitar player.
Yes, and his young follower.
Slightly younger. From the same area of the country.
Stooges from Raw Power, you heard Search and Destroy. Before that, have you played that on your show yet?
It's coming Monday. You beat me to it.
Well, okay. That happens.
That's fine.
A world broadcast debut of the new Dennis Tech James Williamson album. It's new to me. I only found out about it a week ago. They kept that under the hats pretty well for that time. It's called 2 into 1. You heard Stable. That's Dennis Tech singing and playing guitar. James Williamson playing guitar in a young rhythm section, who I didn't recognize, but I'm sure they're friends of Williamson's.
I think they played rather well too. So
I think they did it in San Francisco in December.
It was an inspired pairing of two old Michiganites, right?
Well, they've been hanging out. They live close together in Hawaii. They play tennis regularly. they do.
Socially distanced sport.
And they did an acoustic reworking of the Stooges 3 years ago.
Yes, that's right. They released a record
EP, then. Yeah, an EP of some of their songs. So it's bound to happen. And good for both of them. Radio Birdman, that was Dennis Tech's band in the 70s. You heard from their debut album, Nonstop Girls. Stooges, the influence on everybody, and Sorrow for Larry Wallace. Getting this to just before 4 o'clock. I better do something here important. Let's see. Who's short? Yeah, here.
This week on This American Life. So the Uber drivers in Kenya went on strike, wanting Uber to pay them more of the money that comes in. One of the strikers pointed out that the tough thing about an Uber strike is the guys who kept driving got surge pricing because of fewer cars on the road. They made extra money. Can't beat Uber. But some of the drivers knew a way. That's this week.
This American Life, 9 o'clock Monday morning on KGLT.
Okay. I had a request from Aunt Joanne for the Beatles. And I didn't bring the one she wanted. I plan in sort of vague, nebulous way in advance, and I knew I wanted to play something from this album, and Jim picked a winner.
Good job, Jim.
Thank you.
If you let me take your heart, I will prove to you we will never be apart if I'm part of you. Open up your eyes now, tell me what you see. It is no surprise now, what you see is me. Big and black the clouds may be, time will pass away. If you put your trust in me, I'll make bright your day. Look into these eyes now, tell me what you see. Don't you realize now, what you see is me. Tell me what you see. Listen to me one more time, how can I get through? Can't you try to see that I'm trying to get to you? Open up your eyes now, tell me what you see. It is no surprise now, what you see is me. Listen to me one more time, how can I get through? Don't you try to see that I'm trying to get to you. Open up your eyes now, tell me what you see. It is no surprise now, what you see.
see is me. The diamond necklace played the pawn, and a handsome drummed along. Woe to a handsome man at baton. A blind class aristocracy, back through the opera glass, you see the pit and the pendulum drum. Taken me, dim chandelier awakened me to a song dissolving the dawn. The music hall, a costly bow, the music all is lost for now to a muted trumpeter's swan. Towers, the hour was struck, the street, quicksilver moon, carriage across the fog, to step, to lamp, light cellar tune. Rose the fullness of the wine, the dim last toasting. While at port adieu or die, a choke of grief, heart hardened I, beyond belief, a broken man too tough to cry. Surfs up. Board a tidal wave. Come about hard and join the young and often spring you gave. I heard the word, wonderful thing, a children's song. Thank you.
swab of the Beach Boys bailing out on Gary Usher there. Sorry about that.
Sorry, Gary.
Yeah.